Amen. Chose that song on purpose this morning, Stand Up for Jesus, because of who we're going to study, continue in studying the book of Daniel this morning, who took a stand for God. So open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 1. There's a good crowd in the auditorium this morning, and I'm sort of debating at what point do we go back inside and preach from the pulpit and the FM transmitter. I think when there's more people inside than out, maybe we'll swap places, who knows. But I appreciate you being willing to come in this format, this setting, and I appreciate you being here today. Thank you for your faithfulness to missions as well. We have given just about $25,000, a little over $25,000 to missions so far this year, and praise the Lord for that. It's just a little behind our goal. Our goal is around $29,000 at this point in time, so just a little less than 2 weeks behind on our missions giving, so I praise the Lord for that. We're still paying our missionaries, and there's money in the missions account, but continue to give faithfully to the Lord. Daniel chapter 1. You know, this story, this historical account, I guess we could say. I'm always a little leery of calling it a story because there's some implication that it may not be true. This is a historical account. This is real stuff that really happened. And so I hope we will never lose focus of that. So I want to ask you a question as we get started that will help us to kind of put our mindset in the place of where we're going today. Did you have an opportunity this week to take a stand for God? Did you have an opportunity this week to take a stand for God? Now, I don't mean drawing attention to yourself. I don't mean that you grandstanded in some way and said, wow, look at me, here I am standing for God. I don't mean that. But taking a stand for God in the sense of seizing opportunities that God has given you to prove your love and devotion to Him, to prove our faithfulness to Him. Because truth of the matter is, I believe that we get those opportunities every week to do that. And whether or not we recognize it is what we should be thinking about. I believe God gives us such opportunities all the time to take a stand. To take a stand for what? To take a stand for what's right, to do what's right, to prove our faith. Let me just quickly read through a few verses. To prove that we are His disciples, John chapter 15 and verse 8 says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." Also, the opportunity to prove the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I bet you know what verse I'm going to go to there, don't you? Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Did you have an opportunity to prove your faith in Jesus, to prove your love for God, to prove yourself blameless and harmless, the sons of God? Philippians 2:15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights. So we should have had the opportunity this week to stand as lights for God. Taking a stand for God. Stand up for Jesus. Did you have an opportunity to do that this week? I'm certain to some degree that we all did. So the question now is, how did you do with that opportunity? How did you do with that opportunity? You know, the good news is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 is still true. And that's where the Bible says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man," right? God is faithful, it says, "who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." So this morning, I want to continue to look back at the life of Daniel, a young man, perhaps even a teenager, who was faced with a terrible trial, a very difficult situation, no parental accountability whatsoever. No parental accountability, no pressure, a lot of pressure to compromise to your surroundings, the desires by essentially everybody around you to mold you into a Babylonian. This is who we're talking about. And God enabled this young man to know how to take a stand. And I pointed out last week that, God does amazing things with young people. So really, age is not an excuse that we should use to not do something for God. From the youngest that's hearing me this morning to the oldest, God can use you. And certainly, He's using these young men at the beginning of Daniel to accomplish great things for Him. So God enabled him to take a stand. So in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, we're going to look at a key phrase in the book of Daniel. And for those of you that have grown up in church or are familiar with ministry, you're going to know exactly what phrase I'm talking about, right? It's really the theme phrase for what I'm preaching on for the last several weeks and a few more weeks to come. Daniel purposed in his heart. Daniel purposed in his heart. So just to refresh your memory a bit on this book, the book begins where God allows Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon to come to Israel and besiege Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, the place where Jehoiakim was king. And you will remember, we pointed out in verse 2 that the Lord gave Nebuchadnezzar. So the Lord is in control, even though from our perspective and maybe from a worldly perspective, we think, wow, God has lost control here, the children of Israel, the Jerusalem, they're all, no. The Lord gave, right? So that's important for us to remember. The Lord gave the city of Jerusalem to Nebuchadnezzar. So Nebuchadnezzar, he went and took some of the things from the temple. He took these choice young men back to Babylon where they were going to mold them and make them into Babylonians. And they only took really the best of the best, the cream of the crop, the good-looking, the smart, the intelligent, the ones that had great potential to be molded into something wonderful for Babylon, not for Jerusalem, right? So here's Daniel and lots of others who were taken from home, and forcibly so, was being schooled in Babylonian customs, and his name was changed to Belshazzar, Belshazzar, I believe, that was a name to an honor to a foreign god. So all these things were happening, and then he was offered food and wine from the king's table. He was offered meat and wine from the king's table. So that's where we're going to pick up the story. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, and we'll read through verse 13. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And then again, just quickly point out, who did that? God did. God is still in control. I love to see that. All right, verse 10. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So there we have it. So I want to propose to you this morning that in these verses, we are going to find some principles that will help us take a stand for God. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. What was it that Daniel had? What was it that Daniel did that allowed him to stand for God? Do you know how many opportunities you had this week to take a stand for God and you didn't? Have you thought about that? Maybe perhaps you did just when I was asking whether or not you had that opportunity. How about the times you did take a stand for God? Can you give an example? I want us to really think about that, because honestly, it's probably not on the forefront of our mind, taking a stand for God. Now, being a Christian in our behavior, being godly in the things that we do, I'm not saying we're not thinking about those things, but I want you to think specifically about standing up for the Lord. And again, I don't mean in an abrasive way, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that here in just a few minutes. But my guess is that sometimes we forego the opportunity to stand for Christ more than we would care to admit. And I can speak from experience, as I'm sure you could as well, where maybe the opportunity was there and we did not take advantage of it. Why? Why didn't we? Was it because we were afraid? Maybe we would we'd be embarrassed. Maybe we lacked the knowledge to do so in some way. So principle number one this morning, make your mind up ahead of time. Make your mind up ahead of time. So obviously, that comes clearly from verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart. So this key phrase occurs right here in verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart. And if you're going to be the kind of person who seizes opportunities that God gives you to prove your love and to prove your devotion to him, then you're going to have to decide in your heart ahead of time to do so. Daniel's victory in this account did not begin when he opened his mouth. It began when he purposed in his heart. He didn't do any talking at that point. He purposed in his heart, based on the word of God, that he knew he could not defile himself with the king's meat. So he purposed in his heart, and his victory began at that point. Now, the emphasis in the original, I just found this interesting. I don't look back at the Hebrew a lot, but literally this verse could be translated in Hebrew, placed Daniel his heart. Isn't that kind of cool? Placed Daniel his heart. It's cool because it gives you really an explanation of what he did. I mean, he placed his heart. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. The issue here is what Daniel chose to put in his heart. The principle has significant application to you and I who want to grow in the Lord. The growth process, the process of sanctification, the ideas you place in your heart are going to have a significant impact on your behavior. This is why it is important that we are careful what we allow into the mind, right? It's careful. We need to be careful in what we watch and what we listen to and who we are around and who we allow to influence us, because the issues you place, the ideas you place in your heart have a significant impact on your behavior. The reason that's important is because that's really different than the way our world thinks today. It really is. And perhaps it's not popular, but many people want to take the position that my behavior is determined solely by my environment, what the people around me do. You know, there's a lot of things wrong with that. And to say the least, people would say, you know, I'm a passive agent, I guess, you know, so I bring a neutral heart to the equation. And so the problems I face are because of others around me. Do you see that in Daniel and in his success in the Lord? Yeah, there was problems around him. He was in a difficult environment, but he stood out. He stood up for the Lord. He stood up in a way that honored God. You say, well, I am the way I am because others have treated me badly in my life. My love cup hasn't been filled. My inner child has not been properly fed. Or my problem is most definitely the people around me. Well, those who seek to think biblically about life would say, no, it's not so much what others do to me. It is the condition of the heart that I bring to the table. Now, please don't think me insensitive, because certainly people have endured hardships because of their environment and because of ways that they have been treated. But I'm pointing out to you something specific in Scripture where someone was mistreated, was kidnapped essentially, was forced in many ways to do things that were against everything that he was taught growing up. So I'm using Daniel as an example. So I'm not insensitive here. I want us to look at this. You know, I am not a passive victim. We have to decide whether or not we're going to be an active moral agent. And what I have chosen to put in my heart is what's going to make a difference between me taking a stand for God or not taking a stand for God. Let me use an illustration. Some of you will like this. Some of you won't. Let's say that a husband comes home from work, and he comes home to his wife and his 3, 4, 5 young children. So this way we're not talking about anybody specifically. So this man has had a hard day. He's worked so hard, he's really tired, and he just wants to come home to peace and quiet. He just wants to enjoy a nice dinner that his wife has prepared. He just wants to sit in his perfectly cleaned home and just relax in his castle. That is what he wants. But that is not what happens, because when he walks in the door, the kids are screaming. The house is a wreck. There are cold SpaghettiOs all over the table from when the kids had lunch. And so this is not what he expected, and dinner is not even started yet. So what is the most important thing in this equation at this point in time? Now, I'm illustrating something here. The most important thing, is it crying babies? Is it cold SpaghettiOs? Is it messy house? Is it late dinner? The most important thing in this equation is what this man has decided in his heart concerning his place in that home. Because if he has placed in his heart that his home is supposed to be his castle, where his needs reign supreme and where everyone else exists to serve him, and his wife doesn't do anything all day anyway, so that house had better be perfectly clean, and that 7-course dinner had better be hot and ready for me to eat as soon as I walk in the door, and on and on and on and on and on. Let me tell you something. That kind of man is going to walk in his house and what? Poof, he's going to explode. He's going to walk in that house or pout or behave in some other sinful way. The bottom line is he will miss an opportunity to take a stand for God because he did not put the right thing in his heart and in his mind before he ever walked in that door. He did not purpose in his heart. On the other hand, if that man were to say, you know what, I'm not going home from work, I'm going home to work. The job my wife does in the house is important and it is difficult. And if everything's not quite ready, I'll have an opportunity to be like Christ. So Lord, whatever I find on the other side of that door, I'm making up my mind, I'm purposing in my heart that I'm going to show my love and support to my wife and minister to my family. That kind of person who makes up his mind ahead of time, who purposes in his heart, is very well positioned to take a stand for God. Maybe that's a fun illustration, maybe that's a silly illustration, and maybe we laugh and maybe we glare at our spouse, who knows? But if you think about this, that kind of person who purposes in their heart ahead of time is in a better position to take a stand for God. So let's maybe relate this to you. Maybe you're not married, maybe you don't have kids in the house. Is there something in your week that always makes you mad? Always. You always get irritated by it. And something that maybe it's your family that does something that always makes you mad. And you always end up sinning because of that one way that you respond. Maybe you blow up in anger. Maybe you regret saying something. Do you know that you can use that moment to take a stand for God and respond in a way that Jesus would respond? You know, you can purpose in your heart right now. You know that Tuesdays when you go and deal with this person and they always make you mad and it always ruins your spirit for the whole day and you always regret saying or you always sin, whatever the case may be. Purpose in your heart right now. Maybe that's an opportunity for you to share the love of Christ with that person. Make up your mind ahead of time. In other words, what do you put in your heart that is going to help you with that? What kind of heart are you going to bring to that equation? So let's tie that back into this growth process. How does this fit together? Did you know a spiritual leader seeks to help others place or put biblical truth in mind? So as a Christian, you are going to want to put biblical truth in place in order to use that when the time it is that you need it, right? So it's not simply behavioral modification. That's young children, right? You're modifying their behavior by taking away what they're not supposed to have. As you grow, as you change, we are attempting to help people change from the inside out. You say, well, okay, Pastor Tricky, but what does this have to do with Daniel? Well, what Daniel is doing in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, purposing in his heart, is exactly what you and I, as New Testament believers in Jesus Christ, need to do if we want to grow. And it's exactly what God wants us to do if we have the privilege of helping somebody else grow. A critical piece of the equation is, what are you placing in your heart? What are you purposing in your heart to do? What decisions are you making up in your mind that you're going to follow? It's like when Job said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Or how about Joshua in the book of Joshua, where he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He purposed in his heart. Now, I'm not suggesting that making the decision is the end of the process, because you and I know that's sometimes the easy part, making the decision, right? But somewhere, that decision is going to have to meet the rubber in the road, and you're going to have to get some traction there. As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. That's an important part of the equation. In fact, it's a very important part of the process. The willingness to purpose in your heart to decide with the help of God that this is what you're going to do, and this is what you're not going to do. This is what you're going to be, this is what you're not going to be. This is what you're going to want, and this is what you're not going to want. This is what you're going to say, this is what you're not going to say. This is where you're going to go, and this is where you're not going to go. So the question before the house, the property, the question before all of us this morning is this: are you purposing in your heart? Are you making up your mind to follow the Lord? Are you putting the kind of ideas in there that position you to take a stand for God? Why did God want you to hear what I've just said this morning? Why are we hearing this? What kind of application can you make to your life? Maybe there are some here or within the sound of my voice via the internet who need to hear that because you need to make up your mind about trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. You know, there are many people on our prayer list every week of people who we're praying for salvation. And maybe those people are listening, or maybe those people have an opportunity to hear. Maybe you're one of them, and you've been hearing about that for quite some time, and you have not yet repented of your sin and trusted Christ as your Savior. My friend, it is time to make up your mind. It is time to purpose in your heart. It is impossible to live like Daniel until you have established a personal relationship with God through trusting in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Others need to make up their mind about the use of their tongue. Wow, we can get in trouble with our tongue, can't we? I mean, if you were being honest this morning, haven't you ever wished that you could pull the words back that just came out of your mouth because you knew it was wrong, or you knew it was damaging, or you knew you'd never ever get it back? We need to be careful with the use of our tongue. Where at least in certain situations, under certain circumstances, around certain people, words are spoken that are displeasing to God. Well, you may need to say with Daniel this morning, I am purposing in my heart that I'm not going to continue those kinds of habits. So how do you get out of it? Well, there's a process. It's put off. It's many, many places in Scripture. Put off, renew your mind, put on, right? So we're going to put off the old, repent of our sin, renew our mind with Scripture, and put on new behavior. Let him that stole steal no more, right? Get to work with your hands. Do something for the Lord. Some of us need to perhaps do this regarding wrong forms of entertainment. Purpose in our heart that we're not going to watch that channel anymore. We're not going to listen to that music anymore. It's not edifying. It's not helpful. I believe that God would be greatly pleased for a number of us in different ways, for different reasons, saying this morning with Daniel, I am purposing within my heart that I'm going to take a stand for God in this particular area. Number two, know how and when to take a stand. This is important. And this is somewhat of a, I don't know, it's a sensitive area. I prayed about this for a while because I want us to think about this. We are Christians, right? And we are supposed to be sharing the love of Jesus. And there are places that I could take you. The Bible says, speak the truth in love. But as Christians, many Christians today have lost the loving aspect of sharing our faith. It's important to note that there were certain things that the Babylonians did to Daniel that he allowed. There are certain things that he permitted to happen without taking a stand. And that's interesting to think about. You know, why is that? He didn't take a stand on everything. So you may be hearing what we're talking about this morning. You would say, Pastor Tricky, I know some people who call themselves Christians, and where I work, I mean, they are so, they take a stand on every single thing imaginable. They make a fuss about everything, and everything is a do or die issue. And they're anything but loving. In fact, they're very negative and they're very critical. Is that what you're talking about here? You know, Daniel didn't take a stand on everything. And I just want you to think about this. Okay, so Daniel was deported to a foreign nation. No signs of resistance, really. I mean, we're not told, anyway. They changed his name to one that would have been very offensive to him. No resistance, per se, regarding that. They made him attend their schools and taught them in the ways of the Babylonians. We don't see him resist that. So this is interesting. But then he's offered the portion of the king's meat and wine, and he asked permission not to have to eat it. And by the way, didn't punch the prince of the eunuchs in the face and said, I'm not eating it. He requested. He asked. He maintained a certain character about him that we know God favors because God has elevated Daniel and continues to throughout this entire book. So he's offered this food and he's not going to take it. Why is that? What was unique about the food that was not true of the other facets of this trial? What's the answer? Well, the food was a biblical issue. It was something that was written in the law of God. Eating this food would have been a direct violation of Old Testament dietary laws. And likely it had already been offered up to false gods in the first place. So this was a very clear-cut, don't-do thing for Daniel. In fact, he had the law of God to back it up. Now that should speak volumes to us right there. Do you have the law of God to back you up in what you are taking a stand on for the Lord? The food was a biblical issue. So on both counts, Daniel had a biblical reason not to participate. So what determined when Daniel took a stand and when he didn't was not whether or not he was in danger of losing his life. It was whether or not he was in danger of violating the word of God. This principle helps us identify pretty clear extremes in this matter. Some people who call themselves Christians will not stand up for anything. You know, they're so ruled by the fear of man and everything. They're just sort of like hiding their light under a bushel and hoping desperately that no one discovers that they're a Christian. They're sort of ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And had they lived in the time of Daniel's day, they would have chalked up eating that meat and drinking that wine as, well, this is just kind of what we got to do. You know, everybody else is doing it. And I know we're not necessarily supposed to, but we'll just go ahead and do it. So you know, do you know anybody like that, where they would just sort of, they don't want to stand out too much for the Lord? Some believers, on the other hand, are just the opposite, where they take positions on everything. They have an opinion on every subject, which is not necessarily a bad thing, okay? Please develop your ideals and use principles and scripture to do that. But when you're going to take a stand, make sure you have clear scripture to back it up. When you're going to go against the grain in some very noticeable way, do so lovingly, but do so with the Bible to back you up. Do so in a way that it's not... You're not punching people in the face. Like I said, Daniel didn't punch the prince of the eunuchs in the face. He spoke in a loving way, and he requested. Somewhere in the middle of those two extremes, no, they don't really stand for God, and then they take a stand on everything. Somewhere in the middle of that is Daniel. Change his location, he may not like it, but he'll let it go. Change his name, not his favorite, but he'll let it go. Change his school, he won't like it, but he'll let it go. It is only when it is a clear violation of the word of God that Daniel stands up for what he believes in. And that, my friend, speaks volumes to me. It speaks volumes to me. It makes me, number one, want to make sure I know the Bible in the first place. You know, make sure you know the subject that you're taking a stand for. It's very frustrating to see Christians take a stand for something, but they're basing it on a very low knowledge of that particular passage of Scripture, but perhaps it's taken out of context. You know, Daniel was able to be Daniel because of his love for and obedience to God's word. There's an obvious contrast going on in this text on this particular point, because who's the other Jewish man that's mentioned in Daniel just at the beginning? Jehoiakim, right? We talked about Jehoiakim the first week. Jehoiakim was, his relationship to the word of God was exactly the opposite. What was it? Remember Jeremiah's scroll? God gave him the words, and then so the fellow went from Jehoiakim's inner circle there, grabbed the scroll, and they got started reading it, and they hated what God had to say, and they cut it in pieces, and they burned it up. Right, so do you see the contrast? Both of these guys are Jewish, right? So you got Jehoiakim and you have Daniel. So there's a very big contrast. You got the king of Judah rejecting and despising God's word, and you have this young man, Daniel, loving and obeying God's word. And he's doing so at the risk of popularity and his future and his career and his own life. And he was willing to take a stand on God's word. You know, much of what is happening in our country, in our globe today, it really falls along these same lines. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, often what divides our culture is not so much our views on abortion, not so much our views on homosexuality or euthanasia or capital punishment. The real issue is our view of truth. And what I mean by that is this. Whether some people say, well, is absolute truth really revealed to humans in a specific way from an outside source? My stand is, yes, it is, and it is this right here. Others say, well, you know, human beings have the ability to find fresh truth from within themselves to apply to the circumstances at hand, to apply to contemporary life. This book, the Bible, that's old-fashioned. You know, that's way old, and it doesn't. It's not a source of truth for us today. Nothing burns me up more than to hear people say, well, that's your source of truth, not my source of truth. And I want to say, how is there more than one source of truth? It's a problem, right? Paul really paints a good picture of this, the last days, where he says people are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So base what you the decisions that you make, the direction that you go, base it on truth, the word of God. There is a gross lack of fidelity to the word of God in the Christian movement today. There's a gross lack of fidelity to it. And you need you just turn the television on and watch a lot of a TV evangelist and a lot of preachers. They don't even open the Bible, or they quote just one verse, or and they haven't studied it. Man in his pride believes that he can find truth that is superior to that of Scripture. So one day we're trying to tweak everyone's self-image, right? Or we're trying to cure a toxic codependency. We're trying to heal somebody else's memories, and we're trying to soothe the inner child of that person. We're trying to cast out the demons here. We're trying this combination of drugs, when what we need to do is go to the truth, the truth of God's word, the one that can develop us, and we can purpose in our heart to follow it. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The word of God is truth. And Daniel was able to be Daniel because he was willing to stand for the truth. He knew it was wrong. Not only did he take a stand, he knew how to take a stand. He knew when to take a stand. You see that emphasis flowing out of the text. He asked permission not to eat the food. He addressed the prince of the eunuchs and was kind about it. You know, if you follow me on Facebook, I posted this yesterday as part of my study for today. Taking a stand doesn't mean being arrogant. It doesn't mean being proud. It doesn't mean being condescending. Paul said it by inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. This is a very good a filter, by the way. If you're going to take a stand for something, can you filter it through this verse? Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Can you say that you're doing this lovingly for the Lord? You're standing for God? In our dealings with those who don't know the Lord, when we have to take a stand, let it be full of grace. Speak the truth in love. Respect that person and be kind to that person and treat them as Jesus would. Yes, stand up for truth. By golly, especially if you got a verse for it. Stand up for it. Quote the verse. Tell them why you're doing what you're doing. But let your speech be always with grace. Some of us treat those who don't know the Lord like outcasts, you know, unworthy of our attention. How are we ever going to reach those people if we're not speaking to them lovingly and sharing with them the Scripture, the truth of God's word? Daniel knew when, and Daniel knew how to take a stand, and we can learn a lesson from him. Last principle this morning, believe that God will bless your efforts. Believe that God will bless your efforts. You see, Daniel went into this situation believing God and trusting in God. I'm not saying that Daniel knew that if he proposed this experiment to the prince of the eunuchs, that he and his buddies eat only the pulse, that God would bless that. I'm not saying he knew that, but he did very clearly have faith. Daniel's faith was in the fact that if he obeyed the Scriptures, God would take care of him. You know, it's not too many chapters ahead where we have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that can't bow down to the foreign god for the same reason they couldn't eat the meat, because it was a clear violation of God's law. And so they basically said, well, you know, if we perish in this fire, we perish. You know, God can save us. He may choose to. He may not choose to. This is a demonstration of faith. And so we need to believe that God will bless our efforts. Don't be afraid to take a stand for biblical issues. Know the Bible. Know how to take a stand. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? He shall direct your path, right? He'll guide you. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Trust the Lord. Pastor Tricky, if what you're talking about doing, you know, if I take a stand for God in my situation, I'm not sure how it will turn out. That's a very good picture of faith, right? If you're doing right, trust the Lord for the outcome. Have faith in God and what he has instructed you to do. What are you going to purpose in your heart this week to do for God? Or should I say, maybe I should rephrase it this way. What are you going to purpose in your heart not to do this week? Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. It wasn't a hard choice for him because he knew what God said about it. Don't do it. Well, there's lots of things you and I know what God says about in the Bible, right? If you know God's word, and if you don't know it well, keep studying, keep learning. Look to God, pray to God, ask him to reveal truth to you. Ask him for guidance. You know, have you ever done something that you know was wrong, and you sort of, or you didn't know, maybe it wasn't wrong, but you didn't feel quite right about it. You know what? That could be the Holy Spirit pricking your heart and saying, you know, I'm not pleased with this in your life. You know, pray about it. Get right with God. Take the steps you know to do and trust Him that He will bless your efforts. What are you going to purpose in your heart to do this week? What are you going to purpose in your heart not to do this week? It's time for us to live righteously. You know, Christians need a testimony for the Lord, and that looks different from the world. Come out from among them and be separate. There are some ways that we ought to look different from the world, and I know throughout the course of the last 100 years that some people have gotten on a do-or-die hobby horse with certain ways Christians should live. So we ought to be careful with that. In fact, we ought to look to the Bible. We ought to look to what God says about how we should act and where we should go and how we should talk and what we should wear, what we should do. Those are all things God gives us guidance for in His Word. But we need to be purposing in our heart. We need to make sure we're not giving in to temptation. We need to wake up and do something for God. Get out of that place of complacency that we've been in for a long time. I really admire Daniel, and I'm careful because I know Daniel was who he was because of God. But here's a young man in a crazy situation that was just as opposite as everything that he had ever known. And yet, because he was grounded in God's Word, he shined for the Lord, and he continues to throughout the whole book of Daniel. Read it. I hope you're reading through it. Study it and learn from it. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Let's learn from Daniel's example. There's a song, and perhaps we'll sing it throughout the course of this study, but it's in our book even. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone, right? Dare to stand for the Word of God. I hope that that is what you're willing to do, to take a stand for the Lord, to purpose in your heart that you will or will not do, or you know whatever it is the Lord is directing in your heart right now. I hope that you will do that, and I hope that you'll have faith that He will bless your efforts, and I hope that you will ask the Lord to help you know when the stand is necessary and in what areas of your life that can be the case. Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word. Lord, thank You for the example of David, this account of Daniel, this account in history where Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. And he did so because he had clear instruction in Your Word and clear guidance forward. Lord, the only way he knew that was because he had studied Your Word. So Lord, help us as Christians today in this age of grace, in the New Testament church age, help us to know the Bible so well. Teach us Your Word as we study it so that we may know where we need to take a stand, so that we may be different than the lost and draw them to You through our testimony. Lord, may we be loving examples of grace. May we be like Jesus. Lord, thank You for those who have been here today, who have listened. I pray that You would give Your direction, give Your conviction where needed, and Lord, that You would guide us in the steps that we take moving forward, that we would please You with our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name.